When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
High in the air toward deep left field. No doubt about this one. Over the picnic area. It's gone. The sixth home run of the year for David Wright.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
All right, 106. McMonagle here with you on The Fan. Gleyber Torres versus Jeff McNeil. Who knew it was coming? Who knew it was coming? As they, you know, Torres didn't even play. McNeil had another home run, a big home run that helped win them the game against Miami, and had three home runs in the series, and has had a nice week here. And hopefully it continues. And by no means am I saying Gleyber Torres is far better than, certainly for career. I think it's actually a closer discussion than I thought. And you might even give the nod to Jeff McNeil for the career. He has a batting title that's a level that Gleyber hasn't come near. But over the last year and a half, Gleyber's been the better hitter. And right now for the Yankees in particular, now if Jeff McNeil goes hot here, if for the next month, ask me again. I'll give you a different answer. But again, by no means am I singing the praises of Gleyber Torres. I'm just saying I'd probably rather have him than Jeff McNeil at the moment. Brad Middletown, what's up, Brad?
How you doing, guy?
Good, how are you, buddy?
Pretty good. This got off work. Listen, I got to say this, and everybody might not agree with me. Even you might not agree with me. Mm-hmm. But the Yankees do not have to make no big trades to win.
Okay.
Okay, what they need to do is do the exact same plan they did in 2019 and they did last year. When all those guys, Stanton, Judge went down for a little while, Sanchez,
Bird. Those are the guys who went down in 19.
Okay, now, what they do, they bought up some of those kids. They pulled Cameron Maybin off the scrap heap, and that team was beating everybody. Those guys were hungry. Maybin had a point to prove, and he showed up. Now, last year, when they brought up Dominguez, they brought up Wells, and they brought up Peraza. The Yankees had a winning streak of 22-10 because those kids, they brought fresh blood in there, and those kids played ball.
What are you talking about, though? Because like Dominguez isn't here. They brought up Ben Rice. What would you like them to do?
Okay, this is what I would like them to do. They should turn around and give some of those kids a chance.
What kids?
Why not bring up Caleb Durbin to play second base?
You could. I mean, I suppose. I mean, I don't know if they have faith in him to do it, but you could do it for a while. I mean, maybe after the trade deadline, you might have to trade him. You might have to trade him.
Why not bring up some fresh young blood?
They have, though. You make it sound like they haven't. They brought up Ben Rice.
They brought up one.
You want to replace the entire Major League team, a team that has a $300 million payroll with a bunch of minor leaguers?
Hold on. I'm not going to get to a shouting contest with you like you did that other caller.
Mm-hmm.
But let me ask you something.
Yeah.
Who would you rather have playing center field right now, Spencer Jones or Trent Grisham?
Trent Grisham.
Over Spencer Jones?
Yeah, I'm not bringing up Spencer Jones now. He's not out of A ball.
He
was terrible for the first 2 months of the season. I'm not bringing up Trent Grisham. I'm not bringing up this is what I'm talking about. Like, we're not going to bring up our top prospect and devalue him by playing him twice a week in center field. I mean, I understand. Like, Stan's coming back. He's going to DH. You're going to have you're going to have Judge back in center field. I'm not bringing up a prospect who isn't ready because you think he might do better. Like, Spencer Jones, has his numbers even been, like, let's look at Spencer Jones' numbers because I know he was terrible. He's starting to come around. Like, Spencer Jones is hitting .238 with a .716 OPS. He's hitting .238 in A ball. And you want to bring him up because you're tired of looking at Grisham. I get it. That's why they're going to make trades. Stan's going to come back. You're going to stop seeing Grisham. I mean, in 2019, what kids did they bring up, by the way? What, they didn't go out and bring up kids. They got Gio Urshela. They got Luke Voit. They got Cameron Maben. They traded for Mike Tauchman. They didn't bring up kids. They had the kids. The kids were playing. Greg Bird was the kid. He got hurt. Andujar was the kid. He got hurt. They didn't bring up kids. You want to get guys off the scrap heap because they're hungry? I want good players. Call me crazy. It was a remarkable year. You can't count on the Cameron Mabins of the world coming through again. You can't count on bringing, you know, paying $25,000 for a utility infielder and having him turn into Gio Urshela again. That's why I praise those moves, because they're freaking out of nowhere, and you can't count on those being, you know, it's remarkable that what they did in 2019. I agree with you, but you can't. You got to go out there and get legitimate players. This isn't all. You got to try and win the World Series this year. You're not. I mean, that's. They did that last year. How'd it work? They brought up Bowers. They brought up McKinney. They brought up they got Franchy Cordero off the scrap heap. He had something to prove. Oh, but that's not those aren't the right guys. Yeah, of course. You got to go out there and make trades. I'm sorry. They need legitimate baseball players. They need Major League Baseball players. This is an important trade deadline. They have to go make trades. You want to go bring up Durbin to play second base? I'm open to it. That's fine. We'll see. After the deadline, everything shakes out. We'll see what the infield looks like. But again, you want to bring up, and you got to understand how the Yankees see it. Gleyber Torres had an 800 OPS last year. Are they ready to give up on that in any hopes of it to play Durbin? Maybe. It depends on, I'm sure they're open to it. But I don't know how much they have faith in that. And then what do you do if the kid sucks? Go back to Gleyber Torres? This is a huge trade deadline for Brian Cashman. He's got to go out. He's got to get, you know, probably bullpen help. Although, you know, some guys are coming back. Hamilton's expected back now. And I guess Efros is coming back. But I would still look for a back end of the bullpen reliever. They might need a starter. They need at least one infielder. It's a lot of pieces. Are you going to get two infielders, a rotation piece? Like, where do you think they're getting all these prospects from? And you want to play? You want to bring up Spencer Jones? They got to trade Spencer Jones. Why would you bring? I mean, let's see him get through the trade deadline before you even consider it. First off, and then second of all, they're probably going to have to trade him. You have to. They're going to need pieces. You got to trade them. That's like a talking point here, and it's something I think is Brian Cashman willing to trade Spencer Jones? And I guess there's some rumors that they're willing to do it for Kubel out of Detroit, who pitched again and won again, and Detroit's been on fire lately. You want to trade for Kubel? You want to trade for Crochet, apparently the rumor is, I think John Heyman reported that they wouldn't be willing to trade Spencer for him, but they would be willing to trade Spencer for Kubel. I'm looking to get offensive help. I understand the rotation could use another starter. I get it, and those guys are legitimate, young, controllable, good starting pitching. I need another impact bat. Every year they lose because of the bat and lose because of the offense. I need another. The entire second half of this lineup right now has an OPS under 700. They're below average hitters, you know, 5 through 9. I need some sort of help to that offense. If I'm going to trade Spencer Jones, I have to get a package that includes a legitimate bat that can help me. So if it's a package that gets you a starter or a reliever and an infielder, great. But that's what has to happen. I need a bat. They need a bat. And you got to be willing to trade him. You have to trade someone. They held on to Volpe. I think they're going to hold on to Dominguez. You have to be willing to trade somebody. You have to. Hi. Jack in Woodridge. What's up, Jack?
Yeah, hey. What's up?
Oh, nothing, Jack. How are you?
I'm good. I was thinking about for the Yankees trade. How about like a Gavin Lux, maybe? Left-handed bat for the Yankees.
I mean, he's had a very disappointing career. I could see what he's doing now. I know he's hit a home run today. I just saw that. I don't know, he was supposed to be the shortstop. He wasn't good enough. They had to move Mookie Betts over there. Right now, he's hitting .225. He's got an OPS of .610. I'm not interested.
Right.
He's just not good enough. I'm not interested in him. I mean, he's got six home runs. And he's got an OPS of under .620. I mean, it's just he's not a good enough player. But it's
probably Torres, also left-handed bat.
Yeah, well, I know. Unfortunately, amazingly enough, he's not better than Gleyber Torres. But
wow,
I mean, looking at his numbers, I don't watch him play every day. Looking at his numbers, he's not better than Gleyber Torres. So, and he hasn't had anywhere near the career of Gleyber Torres.
Right. So, and Tanner Scott also like.
Yeah, no, Tanner Scott, absolutely. That's a reliever. If you can get him and Jazz Chisholm, I mean,
right.
that's a guy right now that he's been playing a lot of center field. They moved him to second base to get him some back into the infield. That would be a package that you'd be willing to give up. You know, you give up Spencer Jones, you get those two players. You get a guy who could be the closer. You get a guy who's good enough to be the closer, probably is one of the few guys who's, clearly a guy who could come in and be the closer for Clay Holmes, and you get a legitimate pop bat in the middle of the, in the back middle of the lineup who could play second base, give you some speed. He hits leadoff for the Yankees. I mean, he's not the perfect player. I don't love him, but he's someone who absolutely helps. And unfortunately for the Yankees and unfortunately for Brian Cashman, you're not going to find the perfect package. You're not going to find the perfect player. You're not going to find the guy who fits absolutely perfectly. You get the reliever and the guy who fits like a glove or is a great one. You got to be willing to take what you can take in a market that is going to be a seller's market that I just don't know what shakes free. And if you can get Scott and Chisholm and you have to give up your top prospect, then you do it. You do it. You got to be willing to make the uncomfortable move. And that's what we're going to find out from Brian Cashman. Is he willing to make the uncomfortable move?
100%. Also, Jazz gives a lot of energy.
He does. I mean, a lot of people, I've heard the term jerk being thrown around there. I saw the one thing where he like dumped a thing of water on the reporter that didn't seem to love it. You've heard some things that he's not beloved by his teammate, but maybe he's just the kind of guy who comes in here and shakes it up. Maybe they need someone like that. Maybe they need a little spark, I don't know. They have to be willing to try. So if you have a better idea, a better package for Spencer Jones, I'm willing to listen. I don't know. Like honestly, for me it would be great. I know he's an outfielder. You could figure something out. But Rooker's having a great year for Oakland. If you can get Rooker and Miller, then that's a slam dunk. But that's going to cost you a ton. But like those are the kind of pieces that you would love to have. But how do you get them? How do you get him? And you can go get school. All right, say you get Scooble. Great, young, controllable pitcher, lefty, in the rotation for years. Wonderful. Does it make this team that much better? You go into a playoff series. Sure, you got Cole and Scooble at the top of the rotation. That sounds great. How are they scoring runs? Like, if you're going to use, unless you're going to, then you could use other pieces for supplemental guys. Like, I don't know. I'm open to whatever. Brian Cashman's got a lot of work to do. There's no doubt. And the answer isn't call up everybody from the minor leagues, go find the former, high prospect who never panned out in Major League Baseball who's playing and hitting .240 in the Cleveland Indians minor league system like Cameron Maben was and hope he becomes the miracle that happened in 2019. That is not the answer. I can give you a bunch of seasons where crazy things happened. Doesn't make it the right thing to do. They need to go out and get major league players. Brian Cashman's going to have to swing a bunch of trades. And that's how this whole Gleyber Torres thing got started, because they have so many holes that, for me, I don't put Gleyber Torres at the top of it. Right now, DJ LeMay, you can't sniff a hit. I mean, I know he got a home run yesterday. Gleyber Torres is still hitting. I know it's a putrid 229. He's hitting 230. I'm not trying to, but LeMahieu's under 200 with no pop, with nothing. Third base is much more of an issue. Getting an infielder and replacing DJ LeMahieu is far more of an issue. Getting another reliever is probably more of an issue. You could argue getting a starter is probably more of an issue. We still don't know what's going on at first base if there are options there. I just think Gleyber Torres is lower on the pecking order of things that need to go. And I get it. I get the Yankee fans' frustration. And by no means am I saying he's great, but like, you know, I got Twitter. Stop with Torres. He's lazy, makes a ton of errors. His approach at the plate is awful. Jeff hasn't been any, you know, but overall, both have been underwhelming. Torres sucks. His approach at the plate wasn't what it was last year. Last year, he had under 100 strikeouts. Last year, everything went, last year, Gleyber Torres, his swing and miss went way down. His two-strike approach got better. He was good last year. Good. Not just, better than this. Damn good. They need that Gleyber Torres in the second half. I don't know if you get better than that. I don't know how you get better. You're going to get India and another third baseman? You're going to get two infielders? It just sounds like a lot. It sounds like too much. But by all means, you find a better replacement for Gleyber Torres, I'm all for it. I'm still not at the point of Gleyber Torres where I deem it addition by subtraction just yet. I'm just currently not. They need offense. They need offense. And if it was just him and LeMahieu was hitting up to his normal standards, okay, trade him, play Cabrera at second base and see if you could do better. I'm all great. They don't have that. They have two infield positions that are terrible. Volpe's not hitting. First base, Rice has kind of gone through a slump here after a home run barrage and a couple of clutch hits. He hasn't done much. Like, the entire infield hasn't been hitting. How do you replace all of them?
Add WFAN to your contacts to talk New York sports with us at 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus.
Just looking at stats again, I know, it doesn't mean anything necessarily, but I can't get over some of these. I can't get over these stats with the Yankees. I don't know why. And I shouldn't care, and by no means am I telling you this means that they're good offensively, because they are not. But they lead Major League Baseball in runs scored. How is that possible? How is this lineup as bad as it is, having, five through nine at least, being below average? Having just been unable to get any runners in from third base, how good were they at the, that's what's frustrating to me. And I know, Yankee fans don't want to hear it, and I get it. But this same team, now they definitely need to make trades. They absolutely have to improve this offense. I just said you can't trade Spencer Jones without adding to the offense. But, I mean, this offense was with the same players. It's minus Stanton. That's it. They got off to such a hot start where this six-week malaise, both offensively and pitching-wise, they still lead Major League Baseball in runs scored and lead the American League in run differential. How is that possible? This is one of the more bizarre, Yankee or any really baseball team to be as good as they were to start and to be as bad as they've been for this long. It's mind-boggling. It's so frustrating. It's so just stupid. It drives me crazy. And you know what else drives me crazy? I have to admit, every once in a while, I'll come across a situation where I find that I am hypocritical and that it doesn't make sense and I just see things differently. And for whatever reason, and I know it became a talking point in this game yesterday with the Yankees, the home run trot. As Siri for the Tampa Bay Rays, I believe he was with the Astros too, I remember him. But he got the Yankees for a couple home runs in this series. And he takes forever running the bases. And like a Rosarena, who does it too, a Rosarena has a whole big spiel he does at third base. Siri does and stops and does something at third base. Then he makes the money fly at home plate. And it's obnoxious. And you could see Judge was staring him down. The fans were booing. Michael Kay making a big deal out of it. And obviously then Soto hits the two home runs and he takes his time running the bases. And it's a stupid thing. And I'm really one for let the kids play. But I got to be honest. And this is where I become hypocritical. I'm normally not one who does this, but I was pissed too. I have to admit. And this is where I become hypocritical. And I don't know why. And maybe I'll ask Fliegelman if he has an opinion on this. I don't mind at all, and this is, it's just weird. I don't mind at all if you're going to hit a home run and watch it and flip the bat 30 feet in the air. I don't mind it at all. I like it. It's, you hit a home run, you watch it, you flip the bat. I'm all for it. Not only do I not mind it, I like it. It's fun. It shows a little bit of emotion. It gets the team going, especially when you're right next to the dugout. You look at your guys, fine. I actually like it. But for whatever reason, when you pimp it or Cadillac it, or whatever term you want to use, when you go slow around the bases and have all kind of theatrics while you're running, it bothers me. And I don't know. I mean, it's just weird. It's very hypocritical. I'm okay with one. I'm not okay with the other. But for some reason, to me, there's a difference. There's a difference where in the moment you hit the ball, you watch it soar, you want to flip the bat, get the dugout going. But then once you start running the bases, just run the bases. And for whatever reason, that bothers me. Stopping at third base to do a whole big thing, have a coordinated thing, then touch home plate, make the money fly, go back and pull what it looked like he had an arrow, a bow and arrow, like all that nonsense. Once, like, it's almost like you hit it, it's in the moment of hitting the home run. You take out a little frustration. You throw the bat. You get the team going. Then you should just be able to run the bases. I don't know why one not only doesn't bother me, but I enjoy watching and get a kick out of bat flips. But yet when you Cadillac it and you do nonsense rounding third, it genuinely bothers me. And I don't know why. I feel like it's hypocritical. Do either one bother you? And do you see the distinct difference between a bat flip and watching the home run go, as opposed to then having theatrics when you're rounding the bases?
So maybe it makes me hypocritical too, because I have like a hard line distinction between, like, I think there's three different parts.
Okay.
The bat flip when it first happens.
Yes.
Bat, go nuts.
Yes.
Bat, pimp the heck out. Like, go nuts. Have fun. That's awesome. Once you get going and you're in that home run trot, I hate the home run trots that, you know, take a year. Once you've started moving, get around the bases, let's go. You want to do a hand gesture as you're rounding third, you're still running.
Right.
I can live with that.
Yeah.
Once you start, do that bat flip for the first 2 seconds. After that, run around the bases, get in the dugout. And then, when you're in the dugout, do whatever you want.
Right.
Like, that obviously came into play yesterday.
Yep.
You know what? If you're the other team, if I'm the team that just gave up the home run, that's why, again, I have no problem with the bat flip.
Right.
Pitcher, do better. Don't give up the moonshot.
Right.
That's your problem. Next time, be better. Around the bases, have some class, some respect for the game. When you get back in the dugout, other teams shouldn't even be looking in there anyway.
Right.
That's not their business. That's not their problem. You're not showing them up. You're not doing anything. All these teams have their celebrations with whatever. Obviously, the Mets have their sign. The Mariners have the try. Everybody has something.
Yeah.
Go nuts. Do whatever you want. But once you start moving after that bat flip, enjoy it for a couple seconds.
Right.
Get around the bases. Then get in the dugout and celebrate with teammates.
Yeah, it also, we see this almost exactly the same. And the other thing that, like, if it's your team, I could see it. But I just in general, I don't even mind that it happens if you're losing. Like, because that was part of the thing Michael Kay said. It's like, I don't understand, they're losing. I'm like, yeah, but I mean, he's helping his team win what he did. I mean, he's helping them get back into the game. I mean, so like, I guess if it was my team and they were down five runs and then they're pimping home runs, yeah, sure. You're like, just get back in the dugout with down five runs. But even that I understand. Like, you want to celebrate a home run, celebrate. It's hard. I wish I could hit a home run in the show. Like, I don't know. Like, I'm fine with it. I just feel like the running of the bases, because yeah, you gave it's a little show to the pitcher. It's a battle. It's the most unique thing in sports. It's literally mano a mano, pitcher versus hitter. If you hit a bomb, bat flip it, you know, pimp the pitcher a little bit. But then once you start rounding the bases, now it's like you're messing with the whole team almost. Like, I don't know what it is, but, and then in the dugout, 100%. The Red Sox have like a shopping cart. Like, it's a bunch of different stupid things. Let them do whatever they want.
And I guess it's a little different.
The Orioles have a hydration station.
Right. The one scenario where you can go nuts, obviously, the entire time is if you hit a walk-off.
Right.
game's over, that's different.
Oh, no, listen, when Joe was touching them all, yeah, you could go, you could do whatever you want. Absolutely.
But I agree with you. It's you versus the pitcher.
Right.
Something about it, once you round first base, it's like, all right, now you're showing up the entire team.
Correct.
And you come off like a little bit of a jerk.
Yeah, weird. I don't know why that's the case, but I feel like it is.
And I do agree. Like, I think not just you, me, I think all fans would feel the same way about, like, if our team was down a couple of runs and you saw a player celebrating like that in the dugout, you'd be very annoyed. Like, come on, you're losing the game. Like, but we have to acknowledge a lot of the players now can see that as, all right, I'm trying to rev my team up. Let's go. Let's come back.
Let's go.
And, you know, once out of every however many times, they are going to then go complete that, you know, 5-6 whatever comeback.
Right.
So you almost have to live with it. But that's something the players should just understand, that no fan is ever going to like that when you're losing by, let's say, more than two runs, or it's late in the game.
Yeah. No, I agree. No one wants to see it when it's your guy. But I think it's just, and Kay said, it's like two guys screaming at the sky. It is what it is. Like, this is the new let them play, all this. I like it, other than the rounding of the bases. I don't know why that bothers me so much. But it doesn't matter the score. It is what it is. And that's the way it's going to, that's the way it's been. And that's why, you know, I love the, I hope it, you know, we've seen a lot of stuff between these two teams. A couple years ago, I mean, Cash came out in a post game and said, we have a bunch of guys in the bullpen who throw 99 miles an hour. I mean, threats have been made between these two franchises. And I like the bad blood, and I hate Randy or Rosarena, and I hate Diaz, and I hate these guys. And it's, now there's been a rivalry between Baltimore and the Yankees, between now the Rays and the Yankees. I love that. But, and I love the Judge stare, so I'm like open to all of this stuff. And I don't know if Rosarena got hit on purpose. I mean, it was an inside fastball. He's been killing him. If you let us get his hands extended, he hit 3 home runs in this series. He's been terrible against everybody else. He's killing the Yankees. Plus, you got the home run pimps and everything. That's the last time they will play Tampa Bay this year, unless, of course, Tampa Bay somehow rallies to make the playoffs. And, of course, the Yankees hold on to make the playoffs. But I just feel like it kind of got overblown, and it's something the fans get into. It's, but at the same time, I'm all for it. I'm all for the fighting. I'm all for everything. And I did feel like watching this guy get running bases, he looked like a clown. I'm like, what are you doing? You look ridiculous doing all this stuff. But, I mean, we see, like you mentioned, while you're still running, Stanton takes like the handoff. That's like Stanton's thing. When he rounds third, the third base coach like gives him the fake handoff. Like, that's fine.
That's completely, you're not, he doesn't stop running. No. That, you know, it's, that to me is just like high fiving the third base coach. That's fine.
Soto kind of hops and comes down with the fist pump for the third base coach. All that stuff is fine. But like the theatrics, stopping, dancing, you know, making the money rain, all that stuff, it's like so stupid.
There should be a penalty for stopping. Like, if you
stop, you shouldn't stop.
Yeah.
Agreed. I guess, I don't know. In today's NFL, we have all these team celebrations.
After the play, though, and if
that's
they do
true,
it when like you're supposed to get up and run another play, then we get on them.
Yeah, that's true.
And we'll they could hurt themselves if they celebrate too long after like a sack or first down, delay a game, something like that.
Yeah. We'll talk a little football, actually, as we have teams reporting to camp. Aaron Rodgers. I mean, I guess this is camp. I don't know if it's mandatory or it's up to the media to call it whatever it is, but it's really whatever Aaron Rodgers thinks. Obviously, we got Hard Knocks tonight for the Giants again. I'm looking forward to it. Both teams reporting. So we'll talk a little football. We'll talk a little Jets. New uniforms from the Jets, right? That was today. I saw the pictures. Was that, did they unveil them today?
They're alternates for one game.
Oh, they're alternates for one game. The classic retro white. Those are fire.
It's what should have never stopped being their jerseys.
The same thing with the Giants, too. Like, when are they going to realize
that the Giants didn't switch to something that was hideous to look at for 5 years?
That's true. But I'm just saying, like, every time one of these teams put out the retro all-white with just a little bit of the team color, everyone loves them.
Well, what the Giants got rid of was the best uniforms in football, in my opinion.
Yeah, I don't disagree with you. I think they are the best uniforms in football. 888-808-1019. So a little football. We still take your baseball calls as the Subway Series is tonight. Looking forward to it. I'm going to be at one of the games. I haven't made up my mind whether it's going to be tonight or tomorrow, but I'll be at one of the games. And they are important games for both teams. And clearly the trade deadline looms. The Yankees had a kind of check the box victory where Volpe got going. You actually saw some life from LeMahieu. Carlos Rodon gave you a great start. We haven't seen that in forever. A lot of check the box moments for the New York Yankees yesterday. But what does it mean if they get pounded by the Mets over the next 2 days? And for the Mets, you saw Jeff McNeil with three home runs in the series. The aforementioned Jeff McNeil got hot against the Marlins. We saw a couple of hits from Pete Alonso. And they get ready to come into Yankee Stadium and try and do what they did a few weeks ago and take care of the Yankees and give even more reinforcement to Stearns to go out there and add.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
Oh, hitting at 239 with 8 home runs and 30 runs batted in. Well hit fly ball deep to right field. Forget it, it's going to go. There it goes. Home run.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
All right, 146, McMonagle here with you. So, yeah, me and Fliegelman obviously on opposite ends of this Subway Series spectrum. He's a big-time Met fan. I clearly am, you know, a Yankee fan, sort of. And we're discussing whether what you would take from this series. As, listen, it's every win's important. The Mets are, you know, fighting for a wild card spot. Yankees are trying to hang on. They picked up a game on the Red Sox, who lost last night to the Rockies. But into the Subway Series, which is always unique, and I guess moving forward, I missed the story. I was off yesterday. Last week. I know the Mets and Yankees next year will play 6 games, 2 3-game sets. Now, is that because they're playing the American League East and National League East, and that's typically what happens, or is that going to be that's going to be the new standard moving forward?
I don't know if it's new standard, but because you play everybody now, right, it's in part because they're trying a rivalry weekend,
okay,
which is that first week when they play in the middle of May, and there's a chance none of us care because you could have all the winter teams in the playoffs.
Sure.
Because of that rivalry weekend, then they have an extra one.
Okay. So whenever it's a two-game set, it's always there's a sweep or a split. That's the only two options. There's no two out of three. So, obviously, the Mets swept the first two. Now, heading into this series, I'm curious, with the way the Yankees are playing, because I think the Met fan, this question's a little bit easier. But the question would be for Yankee fans, heading into these two games, having lost the first two, but you're playing the way you're playing. Let's just be fair. Would you sign right now for a split? Would you take the split? And I would think, for a Yankee fan, right now, the answer would be no, I would not. But I'm curious what you think, and I'll tell you why I think it. One, for the Met fan, it's easy. You absolutely sign for the split. You win 3 out of 4, easy. The only reason why I wouldn't sign for the split is because I got Gerrit Cole pitching. I got to feel confident I'm going to win that game. Now, you could easily lose both, but I would feel pretty good the way Gerrit Cole's been pitching, that I'm going to take my chances that I win that game. If he wasn't, and not just him and Hill, if he were not in it, I would absolutely sign for the split. That's how they're playing. But because I have faith, he's looked good his last two starts, he's only getting stronger, I believe in Gerrit Cole, he was Cy Young last year, he's their best pitcher, I would take my chances that they win that game, and then I hope they could win the other. And it's, you know, Hill has been their second best pitcher as well. So because of the pitching matchups, now I know they don't hit lefties, and they're going to face two lefties in Quintana and Minaya. But I still think I can't go into it thinking the best I could do is a split. But I'm curious how you Yankee fans are, because I know how you feel. We hate this team until the trade deadline and massive changes are made. We still despise this team. We're not happy with them because they won a game 9-1 yesterday and salvaged a split of a 4-game set against the 500 Tampa Bay Rays. So I'm curious how you feel as Yankee fans. Would you sign for the split heading into a 2-game set? It's hard to win 2 games, especially for the Yankees, who have won, you know, back-to-back games once since June 12th, when they won the first 2 games of the Baltimore series right before the All-Star break. Besides that, it's been over a month. It's been a month and 10 days since they've won back-to-back games. So it's not easy to win back-to-back games for this Yankee team, but I can't go in signing for the split. You let me know what you think. 888-808-1019, 888-808-1019. Let's get to the calls. Glenn in New Orleans. What's up, Glenn?
Hey, I'm doing good. How are you?
Good, buddy. What's going on?
Well, first off, I wanted to talk about the home run celebration. So if the Mariners had a ball boy standing at the ready, and when they hit a home run, they run out, bring him the trident, and he goes around the bases with the trident. Hey, Chris, it's like pornography. You can't define it, but you know it when you see it.
Right, right, yeah.
As far as the Yankees go,
I mentioned something to Fleas there. I missed the beginning part. That's not what's actually happening in Seattle, is it? You're suggesting that.
No. I'm just extrapolating on.
That would be funny. That would be funny. Just walk around with the trident. Yeah, or better yet, just like have someone drive them around the bases.
Then you go bring out the old.
Just bring out the car and have, car. Right? Have like Babe Ruth, right? And at least the Babe. I don't know if it was that movie was so inaccurate that it's hard to take anything from it. But at the end of Babe Ruth's career in the movie The Babe, he would just run to first, and then a designated runner would run around the rest of the bases for him. You could do that, and have like a guy who does backflips all the way around the bases.
That's the next step. It's coming. But anyway, as far as the Yankees go, look, I'm a Red Sox fan. You're getting ready to play them in Boston, and you're gonna sweep them. Their bullpen has 10 blown saves since the All-Star break. They had two of them tonight. They can't win to save themselves. So no matter what you do with the Mets, you're going to win three up in Boston.
Yeah,
I don't know about that.
Well, I hope you're right. But I don't know if I can give you that one because they haven't played very well against the Red Sox all year. Haven't won a series yet against the Red Sox. Now, I know they got swept by the Dodgers and they lost to Colorado last night. But, they do head for a three-game set after the Mets. It's a little tough road trip there for the Yankees. They play three in Boston, then they go to Philadelphia for three before coming back home in the first week of August for a homestand, Toronto, Angels, Texas, White Sox, Tigers. I mean, that's where the Yankees, you want to look at the schedule where it softens up, quote unquote. Now, I know Texas is the defending World Series champs, but they've been struggling this year. And Detroit now has been hot, but they're Detroit. And you look at this next month coming up, right? After this two-game set against the Mets, then they go to Boston, which, listen, they haven't played well since the All-Star break. No doubt. They got swept by the Dodgers, haven't played well. Bullpen has been a mess. But still, it's the Red Sox. You got Red Sox, and then you got Philadelphia, the best team in baseball, at least the best record in baseball. And then you come home for the last-place Blue Jays, the lousy Angels, the struggling and underachieving Texas Rangers. Then you go on the road for the worst team in baseball, arguably the White Sox. Detroit, then you come back home for Cleveland, Colorado, a quick series in Washington, which I might find my way to. I'm going to figure that out. And then on my way back from Disney. And then Seattle, Texas, Cubs, Kansas City. I mean, the schedule does lighten up here for the Yankees over the next month. A lot of bad teams in there. You've got Toronto, which is the last place team. Again, in a divisional opponent, never easy. They might trade away guys. Who knows? Vladimir Guerrero could be gone from that team by the time they face him in August. But you got last place Toronto, lousy Angels, Rangers. Then you got arguably the worst team, the White Sox, Tigers, who have been bad this year but have gotten hot here. And you might have to face Skubal, one of the better pitchers in baseball. Cleveland's the best team, has the best record in the American League. Colorado, terrible. Washington, probably sellers. Who knows who'll be on the team by then? St. Louis, who's been about 500, couple games over 500. Texas, the Cubs, Kansas City, Boston, Seattle, Oakland. You finish it with Baltimore, Pittsburgh. That is not that tough a schedule. If the Yankees don't make the playoffs this year, they have nobody to blame but themselves. Let's get back to the calls. Joe in New Haven, Connecticut. What's up, Joe?
Hey, what's up?
What's up, buddy? How are you?
Hey, I'm just so tired of the Yankee fans that are so negative and bashing. The one guy that I like, Juan Carlos Stanton. How could you bash that guy so bad? I mean, granted, he gets injured a lot, but he is what has put us into this tailspin.
I've been arguing with Yankee fans about Giancarlo Stanton for a long time. I agree with you. There is a level of frustration, no doubt. He's never been anywhere close to the MVP player he was in 2017 for the New York Yankees. That is fair. He's injured every single year. That is fair. There are times where he goes through slumps where his swing looks like you can't believe he's a Major League Baseball player, let alone someone making $30, $28 million a year. That is fair. But having said all of that, the guy has been as clutch and important, and he has handled the aspect of failing with a big-time price tag next to him in this city for that team better than anyone who's ever handled it. He's always there in front of his locker. He always tries his best. He always answers the questions. He always stands up and says, I got to do better. He always does that. Plus, 2020, he carried them in the postseason.
He carried them.
2021, he carried them into the postseason and then hit a couple of balls off the wall in Fenway in the wild card game when no one else showed up. 2022, he hits a 3-run home run in the first inning against Cleveland in game 5 to help them win that series in 5 games against Cleveland. He has been by far their most clutch bat of this last since 2020. There's no doubt. So the idea, and now you're seeing how much they miss him while he's gone. There is no doubt. He gets way, way too much flack from the Yankee fan. No doubt.
You know, all these guys that are saying, like, before this season, we'll give him away for nothing. Give him away for nothing.
Oh, I know. Yeah, no, just find anyone who'll take some of his money. That's it. Just get rid of him.
Come on.
I know a lot of people are saying that. 100%.
Look at his contract. His contract is not that bad for the player
he
is.
He can't do anything but DH. He can't run, and he's hurt for a month every single season. I can't go as far as to say his contract isn't that bad. Because as much as I like him, if I could get rid of his contract, I'd be open to it. Like, let's be fair about that. You have to be. I like him, and he's been clutch. And, you know, right now I wouldn't trade him because I need him. But building the team next year in the offseason, if I could find a way to get rid of all his money and do other things with that money, I don't know how you would say no to that. The problem is you can't get rid of all of it, and I don't want to eat a ton of it. I don't want to, you know, get rid of him for, you know, 10 cents on the dollar or something. But at the same time, yeah, we get way too hung up on Stanton. He's been very, very good. He just hasn't been an MVP, and he has the no trade clause. So, Philip in Washington Heights, what's up, Phil?
Hi, good evening.
Good evening. How are you?
Okay, as far as the Subway Series, never mind Yankees Mets. I'm a Yankee fan, and of course, I'd want them to sweep. But at this point, no matter who the opponent was, the next two games, I'd like to win it because I'd like to. Come off a nice win today, put a couple of wins in a row.
That's what you have to. Yeah, I agree with you. But so would you sign? You're a Yankee fan, Phil?
Yes.
Would you sign for a split and make sure you don't get swept, or do you take the chances, roll the dice, and try and win both?
Well, again, I would try to win both regardless of who the team was. You know, if the Mets sweep us 4-0,
I agree. I wouldn't be that hung up on it. Who cares? Fiedelman and bust my balls. Like, you live with it. But it's not so much the opponent necessarily. It's just trying to win another series, or, you know, you don't want to get swept in a series. I know it's only a 2-game set, but even you're right. No matter who it was, if it was Boston, like if this were a 2-game set against Boston, would you sign for the split?
No.
If it's a 2-game set against Baltimore, would you sign for the split?
No, right, because I want to come getting on a little roll. All I'm asking is for a little 3-4-game winning streak. The way they've been playing, would be good for the club.
Of course, I think there's different circumstances. For example, if they were going in against the Orioles and the starting pitchers were Nestor Cortez and Marcus Stroman on the road in Baltimore, I would sign for a split. I have to admit. That's the way it's been. Nestor's been terrible on the road. I would have to sign for a split. But at home against the Mets with Heal and Gerrit Cole on the mound, I'm not going to sign for the split. I'm going to take my chances and hope I can win 2 games. But there are different circumstances with the way the Yankees are playing. There's no doubt. If it's Nestor and Rodon, I know that's not how the rotation shakes out, but certainly if it's Nestor and anybody besides Gerrit Cole, I'm signing for the split. because I have no faith in some of the starting pitching, and I have no faith in the offense, and Nestor on the road is a disaster. So there's different circumstances. This current set of circumstances against this Met team and the way the Yankees have played over the last two series, right, where they won two out of three against Baltimore and were literally a guy falling down away from sweeping the series. They come back and split with Tampa and had two of the better performances they've had all year, along with bad offensive performances in the middle. But over the last seven games, they are 4-3. Not great, but better than what they've been. The offense checked some boxes yesterday. Rodon checked some boxes yesterday. Currently now, with Heel and Cole going, I'm not going to sign for a split. But if circumstances were different, on the road, Nestor on the mound, Rodon on the mound, maybe I would sign for a split. But not here. Not today. Today, we will not go quietly into the night. But it should be a good series. Looking forward to it.